sparking, Zero fell off, and Daima goes to another level? Let's find out.
Oh, Nano, your amazing podcast intro plus the mix of the jingle just awoke me from a slumber. It must have been the magic curse. You lifted it.
What do you mean? Bro is up early for the podcast today. What is it over there, like 5 a.m. or something?
It is roughly 4:30 a.m. to anybody, to all the video watchers of this podcast. You know, I am more of the audio guy, but to video watchers, I do apologize. It's been nothing but late night, bright red, you know, hair disheveled, messy. But look, this is just who I am. You know, it's 4 a.m. I got to be real. But anyway, Nano, aside from just being early, I mean, another thing that woke me up was these flagrant takes I'm hearing about Sparking Zero. Why'd you bring that up?
Because, like every game ever, there's the honeymoon phase, and everyone's excited about it. And then all of a sudden, we all have it in our hands, and we're like, this is so great. This is so great. Wait, this kind of sucks. Wait, this really sucks. Wait, this fucking sucks. Now, that's not what I'm doing with the game at all.
I was going to say, who the fuck is we, dog?
But it is crazy that is what happens. Now, some might say this is just the Twitter effect, or maybe X, the everything app effect. But
don't ever, I'm gonna cut you off. Don't ever call it that in your life, bro. I can't stand that.
But I've also got suggested some videos discussing this too, where they prompted by the Twitter. I don't know. I didn't give them any CTR, but because I don't believe in that tomfoolery, Dotto, Dragon Ball Sparking Zero is a fantastic Dragon Ball game, and I will not stand for this deep state.
Oh, holy fucking white knight, dude, jumping out. I'm not gonna stand for it. Who did this? You know, I think the thing is, sorry, I was just looking at myself on the video podcast, and it looks like my face is so red, and the light makes it look like I'm wearing like a white skin, like Robin mask, like from Batman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I look pretty fucking sick right now. But anyway, these aren't even just like...
Are you Todd or Jason?
I'm full on Todd right now.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, these aren't even just internet fucking hooligans, Nano, spouting this. This is people I respect. These are our friends. I just saw Sacred put out a tweet talking about the numbers. Actually, I think his tweet kind of blew up a little bit. And he said, I'm not going to say my opinion, but like, you know, yikes. Dude. These are people we respect, Nano.
Dotto, I'm going to the Steam charts live. I'm pulling up the Steam charts right now, Dotto.
I'm just saying, Nano, I disagreed with my friend. I think that means that we hate each other now, that I'm not their friend. I don't know. I'm still working on what that means for me, but yeah.
I think that's how that's apparently supposed to work these days. Unfortunately, it isn't. Dotto, here's the thing.
Oh, brother, they always sneak in some political messaging, guys. It's not even secret, guys.
Here's the thing. The all-time peak for Sparking Zero on Steam, okay, 120,000. By the way, very weird that it peaked at exactly 120,000. You know, I'm starting to wonder if there's not some sort of different agenda going on here. But currently playing as of 28 minutes ago is 12,216. We're looking at a 90% drop-off here, Dotto. Exactly about 10% of the player base is remaining concurrent. L game fell off. Now, Dotto, really quick, they can watch our Dragon Ball Daima reactions as well as us playing exclusive games.
Whoa!
That was nice.
Look at that pitch back. Oh, dude!
Bonus podcasts.
Whoa!
Just shut up. I'm trying to get my coffee in the break room and go.
More bonus podcasts.
Whoa.
Have you ever done anything while we were reacting to an episode of Dragon Ball Z?
There was.
Be honest.
And reactions to things like Dragon Ball Evolution 2.
What?
They can see all of this by becoming a key member by clicking join on YouTube or just going to patreon.com/key moments. Link down in the description if you're on YouTube to support the podcast and see all those cool things. Thank you so much for being key members.
Four. I feel like we've talked about this on the podcast before, but I feel like the internet is always incorrect about these things. Like I am always right and the internet is always wrong, and it makes me mad because sometimes bringing up the Steam charts and the numbers makes sense. But in a situation like this, it does not. A common one that the internet does this a ton on is fighting games, which is stupid as hell. Like, oh my God, Street Fighter VI came out and everybody was playing it, but now nobody is? What the hell? It's like, oh wow, the people that are playing the game, the core community, are now the core part of the community. Who would have thought? But look, honestly, being a month out and still at, what was the number? You said 10,000?
12,200. It's like it's basically exactly 10% of its peak on day one.
And these are just numbers on Steam. I'm still not having any trouble finding matches, which is when I will know it would be bad. Hopefully it doesn't get to that point. But I don't think it will. 12,000 a month out with no hype. Like, it's not like a DLC character came out or anything like that. That is still really, really good. To be honest, even 5,000 would be pretty good. Because, again, this is just one platform's numbers. It's a 1v1 game with some rooms, and there's no DLC. There's no live service. There's nothing forcing you to be playing the game right now. So I don't get why the internet. Now, granted, you know what? I'll give the internet credit, Nano. This is one step, or maybe even two steps, above people posting the numbers for a single player game, because that is brain dead shit right there. That is brain dead shit.
Listen, you know, I'm not much of a variety gamer, so I don't play a ton of games for people to be able to comment that on. But I did play through the other Dragon Ball game that we got, the other most recent Dragon Ball game, which is almost 5 years old, Kakarot. I remember people being like, man, Kakarot really fell off. I'm like, what do you mean? It's a single player story. We played it and we moved on. like, if you're still playing Kakarot 6 months later and you've already beaten it once, or maybe even, dare I say, twice, play some other games, dog. What are we doing? Why are we still on Kakarot 6 months later, bro? Like, it's a single player game. You play it and you get out.
That one has to be a joke. There's actually no shot.
No,
like, that
people
is...
weren't for real, Dotto. But I think it's just like, I think right now, because yeah, 100%, we talked about this before we even got into the pod. Let's not play like 12,000 active concurrents on a... Because the other thing too is, this isn't a live service game, right? This isn't like, other than going for rank, you're not working on unlocking stuff on a battle pass. You're not... I don't know. It's way different than an Apex or a Fortnite or any of these things. Because all the fact there's still 12,000 people so locked in on just essentially fighting their friends or fighting online, and like, that's more than impressive to me personally. So I just can't imagine we're looking at 12,000 active concurrents a month out. Again, like you said, no DLC. Because when Beast drops and Gamma's are in the game and Orange Piccolo are in the game, that shit is going back up to probably, I guarantee day one of that DLC, it breaks at least 50,000, if not more. Like,
yeah, I don't, but the thing is, like, 50,000 is great. DLC coming out and being hyped, that's great. I think it's still well, like, within those numbers. The only thing that bothers me about this is the Steam charts in arguments online. Again, I love it as a shit talk tool. I love it as a metric because it is good, you know? I just feel like people miswield this fucking weapon so often, dude. It's like, this one, probably not too bad. Fighting games, probably not too bad. A live service game that promises 3 years of continued content updates, and week fucking one, they're down to 300 players. Yeah, that's really bad.
Yeah.
But then I'm just going to spill it over to this because I don't know why I want to yap. This has been on my mind. Because this is also a situation where I think the internet is just constantly fucking wrong. And I'm always right, dude. I'm always so based. I always know exactly what's going on. Have you seen any of like the DEI, like, gaming controversy stuff?
I mean, yeah, it's pretty hard to exist on X.
It's like a constant state of things. Oh, there you go, bro. I hate... There's no way people be calling it X.
Anyways, guys, I was on X, the everything... Twitter. And yeah, definitely. Yeah, dude, you can't exist on that platform and not see some discussion about Sweet Baby and all that. At least
yes,
once a week.
Yes, dude. And the thing is, I know this gets like to be a pretty political topic where it's like people on the left are like, it's fine, leave it alone. And people on the right are like, it literally kills every game I play. To me, the real person, the always based person, it's like some games are obviously it's like, okay, dude. And then other games are fine. But what I hate is recently Steam charts are always used in this battle. I think we all know that. But Dragon Age, a game that I have not played because every Dragon Age game I've ever played has always been ass to me. But they put out a new game, and apparently it was the new topic for the D.
That's the only one I really played, though.
I played Inquisition. That was one I tried, and it was like a really popular game. It just was a little too slow for me, but I'm not really an RPG guy usually, so I'm not saying anything about the quality of the game, but to me, you know, I got to be truthful. I stopped playing it because it was ass to me. But the new game in the franchise became like a target of like the, I would say this is normal, but for a lot of controversial stuff online, everybody picks like the target of the month. But then that game came out, and its Steam numbers were like at what? 70,000, I think, right? 70,000 players?
It was at least 50,000 for sure. It was up there. It was a lot, especially for a single player game, regardless of how, if it being EA or, you know, whatever. But yeah, it was a lot.
And people were posting that, like, they were like, and I get it. I think this was more a case of people just being entrenched in like the shit talk, like they needed it to be bad, so they had to like change it. But I was like, dude, let it go. Like, this one was not the battleground, because clearly 70,000 is more than enough to be good. Not more than enough.
53,000.0, and that 53. Game's been out for a couple weeks, and it's still pulling 45K as of 35 minutes ago.
I think that's fine. And it's a single player game. Again, single player games get like way more leeway because you don't need other players. It's pointless. But I just, again, it was just another example to me of the argument. Like, people will just say, they'll just post any number and then they'll compare it to any other number to make their point. It's just always random as fuck. But yeah, again, single player. But Sparking Zero is a multiplayer game, so you have a little more leeway. But still, 10,000 is more than all right. A month out too? Nah, you're good, bro. It's fine.
Yeah, dude. I'm just baffled at everyone is just turned on the game, and I knew this would happen, and I had a conversation with somebody talking about this, because I'm like, it's just so funny because everyone's so excited to see the super attacks and see all the new info, and everyone's just like, literally just begging for more info about this game. And after it's out for a few weeks, everyone's going to find ways to bitch and complain. And don't get me wrong, some of the complaints are definitely valid. I think one thing, and it is what it is, but like one of the things specifically is when you get into like vanishing battles, and they can be long. Like if you both have a ton of key and you're hitting your shit right, like they definitely slow the fight down for sure, to a point to where it's like, I don't know if saying it's not fun is accurate, but it's also kind of like lame to some extent. And I saw a lot of people's like fix for this would be like speeding it up. Like it has to get faster, so you can't just have the timing down and it doesn't change at all. Like it actually gets faster and faster and faster. Like they get kind of like in the show as like the clashes get faster and faster and faster and faster. That'd be kind of cool. And then like no cooldown on like your Z counters and stuff like that. I get all those things, and but like the thing is, truthfully, in a game like this, they're gonna fix that stuff, and then there's gonna be new cheese that people find. That's just gonna always kind of be the case. Am I wrong on this?
Like, no, I was gonna ask you what else you thought was causing the, maybe not the, again, because I think the game's doing fine, but like, what do you think is causing the more negative reception on, I guess, pretty much just Twitter is where I've seen it. The comments, I haven't really know. Like they'll say like parts they don't like about the game, but I haven't really gotten any comments saying like, oh, I fucking hate this game, they missed with this one.
Yeah, that's
Twitter,
the thing.
I have
it's
seen
really
that.
Really just Twitter, because I have had several of my videos do fairly well, and I don't, there's really no real negative comments. Like it's really, again, I'm presuming that the videos I got suggested were probably just covering Twitter, and it's so easy to, like, we had a whole discussion about this when we were like both talking about the title of one of your videos, but when you spin something in a negative way, it's so much easier, it's so much more enticing to click and to figure out what is the negative thing. And I think that's why it spreads more. And I think when people hear like a negative thing, they're like, they didn't even think about it necessarily themselves, but they read it and they see it and they're like, wait, yeah, dude, fuck that mechanic. Yeah, that is what I don't like about it. Fuck that mechanic, dude. Like, hell yeah, man. Wait, Insta Spark Spam Key Blast? Yeah, fuck that. Not granted, actually, you fuck that.
No, it's because my only thing And this is why, this is my biggest reason for why I think the game has gathered a more negative perception online, is because, and this could be wrong, because I don't know what would be reaching the newer players, but the amount of people I saw that went into this game, and this kind of, I'm not going to lie, this shit annoys me a little bit because it's such like a, like this is just a humankind thing, but people that played games in their small community, and then they were like, I'm pretty good at this game. I beat all my friends. I must be nasty at this game. And then like the online world comes in, like Budokai Tenkaichi 3 technically had online, but that shit was so ass with such a limited amount of players with no information.
Wii, right? It wasn't on PS2. Yes,
I don't know if it was on PS2 or not, but on Wii,
it was just on Wii for sure.
Okay, good. Then online for the Wii, that shit was online, air quotes, four times, dog, because you were not playing anybody online. Not without 17 frames of lag at least, okay? I was just talking about this with somebody the other day. That shit was laggy as hell. You're not playing online. There's barely a scene. You're playing with your friends. So people play it, and they're like, oh, this is really fun. I'm pretty good at it. Me and my friends always have these intense battles. And I think what you see is in Sparking Zero, I saw Balvin put it in a really good way. He said, this game's amazing when you're playing with your friends and then you play online and it's the corniest shit of all time. I wouldn't say it's necessarily corny, but I know what he's saying. It's like, Nano, if me and you played, we're just going to do like the basics of the game. And when you play it like that, it's so fun. It's so balanced. But as soon as you play a sweat or somebody that wants to win, there is crazy amounts of shit that you could just do to be the effective strategy, but in a really obnoxious fucking way. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Like, there's so many examples of this. The key blast spam is really annoying, but honestly, at least there's options to counter it. I mean, it's not real. Like, unblockable ultimates are going to kill you any day, like, if they react to it. The ball's still in their court. But then you got shit like flying up and down as the androids, after image strike, characters that can spam that. It's just like, there are so many ways to be a bitch in this game. Some of them actually require skill, like super counters. If you're playing against a really good player, you're not touching them. So they're going to super counter literally every single possible thing you do. And if you can't super counter back, you're losing that match. But I honestly think that's what's causing it, is people hop online. They want to win. They play against players that actually know how to win and like want to win. And then it's ass. And they're just like, fuck this. This is awful.
I think to piggyback off of that too, the other thing as well, and I do see this a lot, and in my humble experience of going online, I have a video that's not come out yet, but you run into the same characters over and over again, which, and I saw Dion talk about this too. I get why some characters have more health, because that's just like part of it, especially like a fused fighter having more health, because if you were to do it in game, you're giving up an entire character to do that. But I do think there should be some, I hate saying this word because I know people really don't like saying this word. I think you're one of these people that don't like saying this word, but I think there should be some balancing to that, specifically when you go into singles, just specifically singles, because like, I think Dion's counterpoint was that he plays Hit, who is an 8 DP character, versus like a 9 or 10 DP character who have 3.5 or 4 health bars. And that is just a pure rot. Like, get rid of the skill, get rid of like the actual skills the characters have, all of that shit. And that is just a pure raw advantage out of the gates. An additional health bar is unquestionably just an advantage. So I do think there are some things like that specifically where every match is either UI Goku or Super Saiyan 4 Gogeta or Super Vegito, or it's basically like a 9, it's almost like guaranteed in a singles match, a 9 or 10 DP character, like 80 to 90% of the time. And I don't know what they would do about that. That's just mostly like people not wanting to have any level of variety, slash just surprise, surprise, they block behind the most powerful and the most popular characters behind 9 and 10 DP. And they're the most popular characters for a reason, because people want to play as the most popular characters that they like. So like, don't get me wrong, I'm sure some of it is that these players that you're running into in singles, you know, are doing it for the pure raw advantage of just being Super Saiyan 4 Gogeta, who has an instant spark, who has all this other shit. But like, it's also probably some people who are just hopping onto the game to have some fun, you know, because they just got off from their 9-to-5 and they want to use their favorite character, and just so happens their favorite character is a 9-to-10 DP. So like, I have seen a lot of the complaints being when you go into singles, you're fighting these same characters over and over, and there's 182 characters here, but you're seeing like the same five over and over and over again. So that, and that is a fairly valid complaint, and there's really nothing they could do about that. Like, that's just on, that's just, it is what it is, you know? Like,
I'd be honestly surprised if there's nothing they can do about it, because I don't know if you've seen that. I mean, granted, this might be false information, possible lie alert, but I think the way they balance the game is they literally just adjusted stats. They didn't balance every character individually. They just have stats where if you cost this much DP, you have this amount, like, you, your stat spread looks like this. So I think they probably could pretty easily go in there and change it. And I actually am somebody that was for balance changes. I'll just say this. We're coming out with our full political stances here. I was somebody that when they announced that it was going to be intentionally unbalanced like it was before, I fucking rolled my eyes and groaned, dude, because I like Earthlings, all right? I like the weaker characters, and it sucks ass that a Broly player is just going to steamroll me. Granted, in this game, it doesn't really feel as bad, but... You know, before, that's I was going in there thinking I was just going to get steamrolled. And I do think that also the health bars probably should be even, because it literally is just... I mean, single battles are just literally unbalanced like that. But having the health bar differential... I recorded a Daima Goku video a while ago, and you really feel it. Like, you can outplay them, you'll feel like you're winning, but then you'll die, like, shortly before they die. And then you just think about it and you're like, I fucking won that match 2 minutes ago. I won that match 2 minutes ago and now I died.
Does Daima have three full bars, or does he have 2.5?
He has 3 full bars, okay, thankfully. Okay, okay. I'm not even cutting that video if he has 2.5. Fuck that. Hell no.
Dude.
But
sorry, go ahead.
No. I honestly, I don't even know what I was going to say, bro, because I just think the health bars probably should all be... Honestly, I'd be okay if they bumped it all up to 4. Like, if every character had 4, I feel like... Because 4 does give the match a little more heft. So I'd be fine if everybody had 4 life bars in single battle. Like, that was just a flat rate. And if they want to go even further, I wouldn't do this. But they could, theoretically, maybe just put everybody on a neutral DP, like, spreadsheet for single battles.
I mean, I was talking about they probably can't do anything about that, I meant the players and who they want to select. There's not really much the actual dev team can do about the fact that you're just running into these characters. Now, I guess if they do what Dotto said, which is just like, okay, in single battles, like, every character, at least from a health standpoint, maybe some of these other factors are on a level playing field, it might prevent some of it. But at the same time, I think that fusions are the most popular characters for a reason. UI is the most popular character for a reason. And you're just going to see those more often than, say, a Yamcha or an Android 13 or whatever, you know, like...
I completely agree with you. There's nothing... I mean, that problem's going to be there regardless. That's like the lowest... That one is like, in terms of complaints, that one's on the lowest to me. Like,
I see a lot, though. Are you telling me you don't see people complain about fighting the same character? I see that one a lot, dude.
Some complaints, I'm not gonna lie, bro, and yes, I've seen it too, but there's some complaints out there in the world that are just like bitch made complaints. Like, what are we how about you play a different character, dog? Oh wait, you don't want to because you want to play your favorites? Wow.
Shocker, is actually adding several of our mutuals right now for sure, right, with that, by the way. It's so like, funny for them to listen to this, like,
but like, I mean, to be fair, that is but I hear complaints like that because, you know what, dude, I'm going to go on a little bit of a tangent, but I'm so sick of everything in all the hobbies that I love getting grinded down to the... I'm not even a big Apex Legends fan. I played Apex Legends the other day, and...
Who hurt you, man?
When you die and get rezzed in Apex Legends, you come back with both of your guns, all of your shield... All of the thing, but what you lose is you lose your attachments to the gun, but you keep like your ammo and everything.
When did they make that change? It didn't used to be like that, did it?
I know it didn't used to be like that, but this is what, and this has to do with World of Warcraft, has to do with Call of Duty, has to do with everything. I am tired of people removing any friction from every experience in the world to make it more better, like make it easier to feel. I hate it, bro. You're supposed to have some negativity in life. Okay, there has to be some negativity in the experience to make the positives positive. Do you agree with this take, or am I on some pull yourself up by your bootstrap shit?
No. I'm like, I don't remember respawning with all that shit in Apex for sure. Because
you
like,
don't, they added that.
If your ass goes down fair and square and you get to come back and you get to have a second life, which not everyone gets to do, then your ass should be scrambling to find a gun again. What? Why should you respond? It's kind of the way I feel. Don't get me wrong. I actually kind of like this. So it kind of goes against it. But when I first heard that in Black Ops 6, you were going to start the round with your actual like custom loadout gun. By the way, I'm pro this now because it's really cool to be able to level up my gun without having to buy it off of a wall. But I was like, what the fuck bitch shit is this? Like, start me with a pistol. Let me buy a gun off the wall. What are we doing? You know, but now I'm like, okay, that's cool.
Wait, like in Zombies, you start with like a random gun?
No. You get to choose your loadout and you like whatever gun you're using in multiplayer right now, you Dotto. Okay. So at first I hated it because I'm like, you know, I'm old school, old head zombies. Like, I better be starting with a pistol. You do knives until like round four because then your knife doesn't kill anymore. Like, that's me. But also, my AK is like hella leveled up now because I got to just use it in Zombies and it was sick. Okay.
Oh, no. I mean, look. I want to stress that I am not just anti-change and anti-quality of life, but I am tired of seeing these constant takes. I care about this more than any political opinion in the world. I'm tired of seeing people online saying, why don't I feel the same way I did about games before? Well, one, you just grew up. But two, it's because back in the day, like, I'll do this with Call of Duty. Did anybody like getting hit by a noob tube in Modern Warfare 2? No, of course not. It was frustrating and it sucked. But what do you remember about Modern Warfare 2? You remember fucking Commando Pro getting hit by that bullshit. You remember getting hit by some fucking noob tubes every now and then. It's okay to have negative experiences with a game and they're just in the game. Now, those are actually examples of ones that probably should be tweaked and removed. But I'm just using them as examples to say, like, negativity is not always like, oh, fuck, we better get this out of the game now. Our players, like, I'm surprised this hasn't happened yet. And some games do address this, but it's like, oh, players don't like the laning phase in League. So we're actually going to start every game at the 20-minute mark and give you all, like, it's like, holy shit, dude. Some things
the day they
can
do that,
be.
League is dead to me for real. I would not. If they got rid of the laning phase, like in the main mode of League, I would just literally never play that game again. And the thing is, Dotto, I don't even like. I genuinely loathe CS. Like, fucking CS, man. Every time I get back on there, because like that's the one thing. Like, it's kind of like riding a bike when you play League. I promise I won't talk about this too long, but when it's kind of like riding a bike, because when you get back on League, you're like, everything starts to come back. You're like, yep, okay, cool. But last hitting CS in those first 5 to 10 minutes when you don't have your AD up too much, it is genuinely a skill of learning how to do that while also poking and, you know, all that other shit. And that is the one thing that I'm like, fuck, dude. You know, but also, it being so difficult, or maybe I'm just really bad at the game, but it being so difficult and like having optimal CS is like part of the challenge and part of the thing that makes you want to play and get better. So if you took that away, yeah, dude, you're taking away like most of the experience.
It's a big thing in MMOs too, which is, it gets me thinking about it more, but like World of Warcraft, if you got a group, there's so many benefits to the struggle that people don't see. Like, back in the day, having to make a group by like finding players and saying, hey, can you come do this with me? Do you want to do this? Nowadays, World of Warcraft, you have the dungeon finder, the raid finder. You queue up into a group, you die once, and everybody's like, fuck you, losers. I can go find other people that are better than you and leave the group immediately. It's like there's no attachment. There's no passion. It's just like, I hate it, dude. That's like the number one thing I hate about video games now is when they are just like, every possible feature that a player could complain about on the forums gets immediately shattered and blasted from existence because they don't want to hear the complaints. But I don't know.
Do you think, by the way, we are going to talk about the diamond episode, but do you think that is everything you're describing right here? Do you think that is why the Souls games have had such a large following and such a large pop off in the last few years, especially like with Elden Ring, because they kind of bring back that sort of old sentiment of gaming back then?
I do think so. I think a lot of that like appeal is because they're just experiences, and you just play through it and you find like solace in the struggle with other people, and there's ways you can adjust it. Like, you know, players like a lot of people play like this, but me and Dion like don't use summons because it's just not something we want to do, or other people use summons and it's a more like fun way of like people that beat the game can beat the game, and you could do it through these ways, but the struggle's still there. And there's some areas of like, I would say a good example of this where I'm more giving is like an example of a struggle that isn't really that fun would be like Bloodborne. I've never played Bloodborne fully, and one of the reasons is because you have to like grind your health packs, like you have to pick them up from enemies. That's a little boring. I don't really know if I like that, because like part of the fun is the challenge. So remove, like changing that is fine. I think that's fine, but it would be like the difference between like, I don't know, you just like respawn on the fly, and you can balance games and you could design games around these mechanics. I'm not saying just having a res mechanic would be crazy, but yes, I think a big appeal of those games is just that they are what they are, and that's it. And they're unchanging, they're unmoving in the face of like I think a lot of people have fun. Like a new Elden Ring style game comes out, the first thing you see, the popular thing is like, dude, this character's beating my ass. Me too. But like, it, as soon as you replace an NPC with another player, all hell breaks loose. It's no longer fun. It's no longer I'm getting my ass beat. It's, can we change the game so that this other guy beating my ass can't beat my ass anymore? I want to be the guy beating people's ass. It's so annoying. It's so annoying.
Dude, the other thing too is like back in the day, games used to be so brutal, whether it was intentional or maybe it was just they were programmed bad. Games used to be so brutal, and like save states as well. Like you would play for like 10, 15 minutes, get really far down like a 2D platformer, and you die. And guess what? You ain't starting back in the midway. You ain't starting back at 20%. You're starting back at ground fucking zero, you know? And like so much of that, which don't get me wrong, some of that quality of life I welcome, especially as a 30 plus year old adult who does not want to replay a level, especially nowadays. It'd be like actually going back like an hour or something. Which the Souls games do this, but like some of that would suck, I guess. But in other aspects, like, man, gaming used to be genuinely hard. I handed my son actually the Lion King game. I don't know if you ever played that. And
well, that's just mean.
And I watched him struggle on that game for like quite a while. And he's like, Dad, can you please just show me how to do this? And so I did like a jump for him and like got around this thing. And he's like, man, how did you do that? You know, like,
I was going to say, what are you talking about, bro? Like, as a fully grown adult, I'm not beating that game. He would ask me, I would say, I'm cooked too, bro. I don't know this.
Oh, man.
That game is hard.
Speaking of cooking, Dotto, they cooked this week on Pansy, episode 5 of Dragon Ball Daima.
Did they?
Dotto. This was a great episode. What?
I mean, it was good, but did they? I mean, did they though?
All right, so guys,
We
are a podcast that talks. I know we just talked about Sparking Zero and other gaming related things for like 30 plus minutes there, but we're also talking about Dragon Ball Diamond today. And this one, I don't know. Dotto sounded a little lukewarm on it. I personally enjoyed it quite a lot. And to start things off, to do a quick little recap, Dotto, I did take some notes. So
good. I mean, we need
stop
those.
Stop me if you hear anything that you want to discuss on, all right? So first things first, a little more of the ear racism, because she immediately calls out Goku's round ears. That's one of the first things that happens in this episode. Pansy specifically calls out Goku's ears not being round. And interesting enough, you laughed, and I first was like, wait, is this a hint? Glorio actually tells her that Goku's from the second demon realm, which you're right, it's probably just a joke. It probably has no, like, that's not real. But I have seen a lot of theories going around the internet that are trying to maybe guess that they have some sort of pact to the demon realm. So do you think that was a pure joke? It was. Or do you think
I don't think it was a pure joke. I think it was just like, because we're going to get into it later on, but this is the episode where they're finally, the characters are finally starting to say, like, I think Glorio be lying. I think this was just to show how quick Glorio can, like, make up lies. Like, I think that was the whole purpose of the scene. But still giving credit to this theory, all right? I'll cash in a little bit of chips here. It could also be, like, some next level foreshadowing where, you know, maybe Saiyans actually did have a little bit of a Demon World 2 thing. But I'm not buying in yet. I think it was just to show that he is conniving.
I still think that the Saiyans are going to have some sort of tie to the Demon Realm, and it's going to be like his, like their way of explaining how, why they are so much stronger and are capable of doing all the things that they do. But maybe not.
Ooh.
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Another thing too here, by the way, that was mentioned a lot at the beginning is Pansy specifically asking Goku if he can do any magic. Like, they wanted to call this show Dragon Ball Magic so damn bad, Dotto. Oh my gosh.
They really did, and they have not stopped. It just, like, feels, you could just tell, honestly. This wasn't the first episode that made me think that, but this one was pretty obvious. It was like, what's your magic power? Okay, dude. Might as well look at the camera. Secondly, Nato, I did want to ask a question. How much of the Saiyan OG lore did we know? Because you were talking about it, and another big element of this show is that a lot of people from the Demon Realm left and had to go to other new worlds. So the Saiyan thing might actually, like, because didn't they, like, take over the Tuffles planet?
Yeah, because Planet Vegeta is not...
Yes.
Not its original name, right? Planet Vegeta was turned into Planet Vegeta because of Vegeta being the king of the Saiyans, and they named it after him and all of that. So, yeah, I mean, this, them not having a, again, this could be Dotto and I maybe missing something here, but they don't have like a home planet truly, right? Or at least not that we know.
I love to ask questions that'll get our Dragon Ball card revoked, because I don't remember. It might be obvious. It might be that they just, I can't remember if they just always naturally shared the planet 50-50 by birth, or if the Saiyans kind of like invaded one day and then they lived kind of 50-50, or if they just like,
no, we, yeah,
or if it got reworded. Yes, I do remember that. And it is the Tuffles, right, that they shared it with, or am I also messing that up?
The reason why I feel like you're correct on that is
I'm looking it up.
Some of these more in-depth things, it's like, you don't talk about those all the time. And if you've not watched some stuff in a while, it definitely leaves you a bit. Okay. You're correct. They shared it with Tuffles, which I was like, I'm pretty positive that's the whole plot line of Baby, which is why I was like, I think you're correct for this, because Baby is doing what he's doing to get exact revenge on the Saiyans for, you know, killing off the Tuffles and making them leave and all of that. But Planet Vegeta specifically was originally known as Planet Plant. And when they conquered it, they turned it into Planet Vegeta. I did know that. I knew Planet Vegeta was not their original home planet. But apparently the Saiyans are from Planet Sadala, which again, hearing that, I'm like, oh yeah. But is Sadala specific? Hang on. Is this specifically? Hang on. Let me look up Planet Sadala here really quick. Because I'm like,
I was looking for it. Internal conflict, and then they moved off. But, you know, I feel like if that is what it is, and I'm not wrong, then that could easily be retconned with, like, that was just a lie. You know, we had to leave the demon world because we betrayed the demon king, and he took our ears away. You know, some stupid shit like that. But, yeah. I'll present my Dragon Ball card to anybody that does want it. It's been a while.
I'm sorry, dude. That's some, like, listen, some of y'all can get on to us again, because I have seen some comments like, man, these guys just don't know. And I'm like, bro, get dude, let's calm down. How often is Planet Sadala actually mentioned in the series? All right, let's just be totally real with ourselves here, okay?
I don't know, Nano. They're gonna take our cards away.
Nah, stop. Also, you have They're to understand this is a conversational podcast, and so we're not like coming here with like making a theory video in mind. And so when you're listening to those theory videos, hopefully they've done their due diligence and they're able to present all the facts immediately up front with their script they have written. We don't have a script that we're sitting in front of. You're watching us live fact check things for ourselves. So there's a difference there, too.
Dude. We're just podcasters, and basically we don't have to research stuff. So whatever
that's
we say,
that's not what I'm saying. We're doing research on the fly. This is
on the fly. Exactly. Exactly.
If I were making a video, I would have came prepared. This is like, you know, again, it's a conversational podcast.
Why don't you unintellectual peons fucking stay in the comment section and leave us alone. Okay. Cause we've got this all figured out. All right. Now, let's get back to talking about Dragon Ball Danma.
You should, dude. If you would have hit it with a little Dragon Ball Dan, Don the Don,
bro.
Anyway,
love that show.
No, so funny enough, that was my next note. Though was that it was Glins, right? They call Shin and his race Glins. It's not Glines. It's Glins, correct?
I'll say yes. I don't know if it's Glines or Glins, and also. I'm going to jump back in on this. Every time they say that, this is the most like slur sounding term I've seen in this show in a while. Yes. I don't know why it gives me a bad vibe whenever I hear this, but go on.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I feel like I'm saying something I shouldn't or something like that. But anyway, she actually references and call, well, first off, she literally calls out the Gesu because she's like, wait, Pansy's speaking to Shin is like, wait, you look like, you look like Degesu, and like, he does not confirm or deny that they're related or anything like that. And then she mentions that most of the Glins left the demon room, which would explain why most of the Kais look like Shin, because they left and they became Kais.
Yeah, exactly. They up and out.
We also learned that the average lifespan in the demon realm is around 1,000 years, and that Pansy is 82.
Yeah, definitely makes the stealing 9 years thing a little more reasonable to me, honestly.
Yeah, that was brought up because she mentions that they're stealing 9 years from them, and she's like, "That's a lot because we only live for like 1,000 years," and it's like, "Wait, what?" Like, okay, all right.
I promise you'll be all right, dog. Like, which is weird. Goku literally says that to like, they're taking 9 years of our life. We only have 1,000. Goku says, "Oh, well, then I actually agree with them. Like, you're fine."
And we did have a slight reveal. Again, a good, or not good, but a main theme throughout this episode is continuing the sort of foreshadowing that Glorio is not who he says he is and is definitely up to something that we don't fully know yet. And so, anyway, when we get to the Kadan Castle, Pansy is revealed as the princess. She's actually King Kadan's daughter.
I didn't see this twist coming, but I also, now that I'm thinking about it, she took the mask. Is she ever going to put the mask back on? Like, the mask is a very,
I bet she'll put it on when they get into the next fight. I bet it will come on.
You think it's like her battle stance?
Yes.
Yeah. Cause she doesn't really seem too attached to it right now. There was something else. Oh, one thing I did want to say, cause we did pass by this, but Nano, on the Key Moments podcast, referring to Daima, we have brought up that in the intro a lot, there's that blue, like, little scarf thing that, like, looks like a grave.
Yes.
And it's, like, flowing. We pass a scarf very similar to that with a skull on it. Could it be foreshadowing Glorio's death even harder?
They said it's literally, like, a almost like when you're putting down a thing in, like a game as, like, a marker. It's just a marker, dude.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, it. I feel like it... You know, there's, I don't know, another death flag. You know, that's all I'm going to say. It felt a little death flaggy.
Then after that, we get a proposal to Goku because we do meet King Kadan, and he says that Goku should marry Pansy.
Does he even, he doesn't even bring up, well, he does say I'm married with kids already, and that's when like more lore comes out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But doesn't really bring up Chi-Chi by name. If I was Chi-Chi, I'd be pissed watching this.
Yeah,
I would be furious.
Chi-Chi's because they've not revealed the other character that's behind the scenes that's actually filming all of this. It's going to take it back to Earth to show everybody. So yeah, you're right.
The cameraman?
Yeah.
I hope in the final episode of Daima, Goku turns and says, we got to get out of here. And then like he takes the camera and reveals that like, Krillin's been here filming the entire time.
That would be actually so sick.
Would it? I'd be pissed, bro, knowing that Krillin was here the entire time with a fucking camera on his shoulder. I would be upset.
And then after, so after, well, we get some slight reveals while we are talking to King Kadan in his like throne room. And essentially so Glorio is presented this entire time that he was sort of hired to go get Goku and was approached to do all of this by the king of the third realm. But now it's more or less revealed that Glorio actually came to the king to get the ability to go, you know, to do all of this. So it seems as though, again, there is substantially more to what Glorio is doing that we don't know, and that he's definitely spun it one way when it's actually to the complete opposite here. So it's not that the king came looking for him and Glorio and said, yo, go get me whoever beat Majin Buu. It's more that Glorio approached the king and said, hey, I can go find this guy that defeated Majin Buu. So there's starting to become some holes here in Glorio's story that the main cast is finding out, because Shin later in the episode does actually bring this up to Goku as well.
Yes, they're basically now the characters are not trusting Glorio.
Well,
finally, well, even Shin, though he's been
Goku
shipping.
Says it's whatever, basically. Like Goku.
Goku doesn't give a fuck. He just doesn't care. But he's like, yeah, I guess.
So, anyway, again, you said this was their reason because this episode had nothing else going on for the meatheads. Of course, the king wants to see Goku, like, actually show him what he can do, which gave us some really sick choreography. Like, Goku was doing some really cool shit in this fight against all of, like, the king's men and stuff like that. And does give us the tiniest taste of Super Saiyan, but doesn't actually go through with it. Like, the tiniest taste, Dotto. It almost looked like
it's just a slight yellow aura, bro. You gotta relax, dog. Like, God, you Dragon Ball Z meatheads will look for any possible, like, any possible sustenance. But no, my glorious king, Daima Goku, would never, never transform into a Super Saiyan. He just glows a little yellow. That's all. He threatens it.
And then, so he beats their ass, and essentially Glorio then is like, hey, we're here because we need a plane. And then specifically the king's like, well, we're going to have to like do some like tweaking with your PIN number, because obviously your old PIN number is attached to your old plane, and now we're giving you this plane. So we got to do a little bit of fudging so that Warp Sama will let you go through. And at that same time, Shin is like, hey, well, we have our friends that I couldn't tell a PIN number to. Can you do something about it? And that's when we meet our new character, who is a Majin and named Hebus.
I would call him Hebus.
Yeah. And so Hebus is going to go retrieve Vegeta and Piccolo. Well, they say a few friends, 3 to 4, because it's specifically asked so that way they know how big of a plane to take. And he doesn't have a big enough plane at the time, so the king actually sends 3 of his henchmen to go like retrieve an additional bigger plane. And Hebus has like a sick radar, dude. Puts anything we've seen from Bulma to absolute shame. Bro pulls up the lookout in like 2 seconds, and this thing looks cool as hell, dude. The actual interface, it looks like a dragon radar, which is also very interesting, but it looks genuinely just like a dragon radar from the aesthetics. But then the actual screen itself is like incredibly advanced.
Yeah, it literally searches through galaxies. I'd say it's pretty fucking advanced. He went from Demon Realm 1 to Earth to the lookout tower instantaneously. That is the most powerful device I've ever seen in my life.
And then the last little main plot line here is that it'll probably take a few days to get their friends. And then they reference that it's going to take about, a few days for Hebus to go get their friends and come back. And then it is referenced it'll take about 4 days for them to get from where they're at right now to the third realm Dragon Ball. And that's pretty much our episode. That was like at a very high level, episode 5 of Dragon Ball Daima. Is there anything you feel like I missed that you feel like we should point out here?
No, I think you pretty much covered all the plot points here. I think we've got our basis. And now we're good. Really, the only thing I guess I'll just say now, since there's no other time to really talk about it, but next week's episode, the preview looks pretty good this week. You know, I'm excited to watch next week's episode. This one was more of a handsy setup, you know? We got, this was another lore dump of an episode.
So let's see. What was the next week's episode called? Do you remember?
Lightning.
Yeah, lightning. You're right. And it, yeah, because we're getting we're gonna get to see Glorio v Goku in this next week's episode, which does look, and it looked like it was animated, really sick.
Yes, we're gonna see a Glorio Goku fight, and then like a berserk looking like monster.
Yeah,
so,
this is the bull sort of esque looking monster
yes.
that we've seen, I think, next, in some of the other previews and stuff.
I'm putting all my stocks in next week's episode.
Yeah, the thing is, like, A, the consistency, which we expected this, every bit of these are still looking fantastic. There's not been, like, a bad episode yet. Five episodes in, they all look great. This is kind of just what happens when you actually have time to prepare and get everything in line and not be trying to draw week to week. So, from a production standpoint, it still is looking beautiful. Like, I'm so for real, the fight in this episode specifically, you called it breakdancing, but, like, Goku genuinely just, like, This episode was, I actually liked this episode. It sounds like Dotto was a little lukewarm on it, but I still thoroughly enjoyed episode 5 here. My one complaint, I said this in the reaction again that you can see by becoming a key member, was that a part of it that does, it's not hurting it for me now, I think it's making the experience somewhat better, is just the over alluding to like Glorio is up to something, because it's going to be one of those sort of like, I won't call it a plot gimmick, but it's gonna be one of those things that as I rewatch, like it's gonna have like no meaning. But that's just kind of how those things are, right? It's like rewatching Saw. Like you already know what's gonna happen, so it's lost some of its luster, but like it's still good. It just it can't ever get you with that again, and that's just the way those things work. But they are playing into it. It's such a heavy plot line right now that I almost think they're playing into it too much. It's like, well, if someone hasn't picked up on the fact that Glorio has other intentions or is some sort of secret character here, then they must be really dense, because they're like, they're I mean, am I wrong? Like they have played into it since he's been like shown on the scene. So like, it's almost like they're overplaying into it now to some extent, but it's not really taking away from my experience now, but I know when I do the rewatch and dub, I'm going to be like, all right, come on, like, you know, let's all get on the same page here. Like, he's basically Mira, and he's going to transform into Super Saiyan 5, and, like, it's going to be a crazy thing. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to go Super Saiyan 4 to fight him. It's
yeah,
gonna be this insane
we get it. We get it, bro. You've got your fan theories. Speaking of getting our fan theories on the same page, though, we still need to, it's already been a long one, but we still need to cover Book Club, Nano. After we do we do ratings first or
yeah,
Book Club first?
Let's hop into ratings, and then we will do this week's Book Club. So, I'm ready to rate this. I know exactly what I'm giving this episode.
I don't remember who goes first. Am I throwing my hands up, or am I just saying this?
So last week we both gave nines. I think it may have been you that threw your hands up last week. So I'll do. You can go first. I've already got my score on the screen.
Even my most hater energy, just trying to be a hater, I still enjoyed it, obviously, but I am gonna give this one just I'll give it a seven. I'll go seven on this one. It was just standard, you know. It was good. Seven's good, so I'll give it a seven.
Yeah, I gave it an eight.
Okay, all right, and that's respectable too. Again, this is just on the Daima scale right now. I'm scaling this Daima style, all right?
Yes.
Every episode is just on the Daima scale. This one's going to play seven for me. Doesn't mean it was bad, though. Good time.
We still, by the way, we still technically have our Vegeta bet. If you guys haven't been here, we have our Vegeta bet. Dotto says Vegeta won't show up till episode 17. We know that's probably wrong. I said
that's
13.
Way off.
Now, we did this bet before we found out that they were going to be, before we saw the outros and stuff. We did this like week one. I said 13. We are unironically on track. It could be around 13 because I think this show has been fantastic. I could see where some people have some critiques with it because I don't need it to be a blistering. I know this show is going to pay off, Dotto. Like, I fully believe that when we start getting into the thick of things and like the adventure is sort of coming to a close, I think this show is going to go genuinely insane.
We got the fusion bugs. So, I mean, it's gotta do something eventually. There's fusion bugs.
But I will definitely admit that they are definitely taking their time in these first episodes for sure. So I could still see Vegeta not showing up till really close to 13 at this point. Because now that we know that we're 4 days away from getting out of the third demon realm, or at least getting to the third Demon Realms. Dragon Ball, we're a few days out from getting, you know, the characters even in the Vegeta and Piccolo even into the Demon Realm. I mean, we really could be looking at like episode 10 before we're like full cast together sort of situation. But coming over to, unless you have anything to add to that, coming over to book club section, starting with Coma D or Coma D. I think that Glory and Goku are going to fuse in the scene. Wait, do we want to present a book club question really quick? Do you have one?
Oh, yeah. I got
this is very similar to last week. But I'll just ask it again because let's see if any theories have changed. What do you think? Who do you think Glory will be revealed to be? Like, what do you think his, like, we know, generally speaking, we probably know what his ulterior motive is here. He probably wants to either A, he's trying to become the king of the Demon Realm, or he is working for someone we're not aware of yet, who's trying to do an upset and essentially cause Goma to not be the king. I think that's a fairly solid plot line for him there. That's why he's being so mysterious. But who do you think he is? Who do you think Glorio is?
I'd be interested in that. I still think I think that is probably the most right theory so far, but I'd be interested in seeing what other people say.
So, Comedy says, I think that Glorio and Goku are going to fuse. In the scene where the fuse bugs are introduced, Goku fumbles Glorio's name and calls him Glorio, a combination of both their name, aka a fusion name. For Glorio, I think, I did actually ask this question last week. Damn, Dotto. Damn. I should have thought of a better question. I tell you what, we'll come back to
it.
But
the thing is, I feel like we asked two questions last week. We should have just saved him. Go ahead.
I'll come back to a classic. When do you think Vegeta and Piccolo actually
update? Yeah, I mean, we might as well update it because this episode did touch on that.
Yeah, when do you think Vegeta and Piccolo will actually get here? What episode? Someone try to call which episode? And if you want to go into more detail of how you think they'll show up, will it be mid fight? You know, whatever it might be, let us know. That, I think, is a better one to go for. So I think he's the heir to the Demon Realm and wants to reclaim his throne. It would explain why he has access to the palace and how he would be able to leave the Demon Realm when he said only citizens of Realm 1 and 2 can do that. Now, he doesn't look like Deborah, but Deborah's sister Toa has blue skin and white hair. I could see Toa being a portrait on the wall, like how 21 was just a picture in Superhero. And if his mom's dead, it could explain that stick that looks like a grave in the intro. That's a pretty damn good book club comment, Dotto.
Okay, all right. That was good. That was good.
Shiro Brandu, or Brando, I love this one. And before the bugs are just a Toriyama gag and none of them work. I unironically could see that shit happening.
I mean, I could see it happening too, but I hope not. That would be crazy. That's a crazy one to set up and just like leave that be.
Ifu Ren says something to note is that the sign shows two people merging into one. That's why it shows three on the sign. You can tell because the two people are connecting to the third. Do you agree
I heavily disagree with this. There's no way that it wasn't three people. I just think because I don't know. I feel like I don't.
The picture is in our way, if you want to relook at it. If you just scroll up a little bit.
I did scroll up to see it. I feel like there's no way I feel like they're different people. I don't know. I guess it could be two fusing into one, but I feel like the way it's drawn is clearly it's three.
I think it's three. I think that the thing is that you have three drawn stick figures inside of a bubble that is being like together pointing to a bigger character. I don't know why you would be trying to portray two people coming into one in that picture and then showing the one being strong. That doesn't make that, like, from illustrative standpoint, like if we were to do that, like if you were to task me with drawing a very stick figure based rendition of how Vegeta and Goku use Patara to become Vegito, I would draw stick figure A, stick figure B, having them like attach at the hip and then point to a stick figure C that is a bigger, stronger version. I would not draw three stick figures to portray them becoming a singular character. That doesn't add up to me personally, right? Like I think it's three. Now, I don't know how that makes sense because when you look at the bug, it does look like the bug would just split into two. But anyway, I don't know. I think from the picture, it's showing three into one.
I'd be down to hear more thoughts on this just to get more bets, but I would also be betting that it's three into one. I don't know. I feel like And also, I want to go rewatch the episode just to see. I feel like the way they worded it, like they even were wording it that more than two people confused with these things. But again, I'll see. It's not the most. They are connected. The arms are stretched out, connecting the two bodies. But I don't know, dude. I don't know. I think having three people fused would be more interesting.
Yeah, I think it would be the next evolution up. And also, Toriyama's favorite character is Piccolo. And so I think Piccolo will be involved in some way. Now, what does that character look like? I don't know. But and I know dude has already been fused with Nell and Kami and stuff. But this would be that's like almost him. I know we call it fused there, but that's almost more like him absorbing them and them forever being like truly forever being a part of him. Whereas this would be like, this is a temporary fusion. This is definitely, I've seen a lot of people saying, well, he's already fused. Like, no, this is a little different. All right. This is a little different. And speaking of, Monkey Matter says the fact that Vegeta and Piccolo are on the way makes me think there's going to be some more Saiyan and Namekian lore. Like, they have to mention DKP, right? I don't know if they have to, but I can see. I mean, I don't know that those are two direct correlations to there being more lore there, but I think that this is, we've already been shown this is such a lore heavy show. Like, this is really trying to flesh out a lot of the more unknown or maybe just things we've never really truly thought about type of show that, yes, I could definitely see there being more Saiyan and Namekian lore explored in the later half of this series.
Piccolo is going to become the king of the demon realm.
You know,
nah, I'm just kidding. Pansy's going to be the queen of the demon realm. Real talk.
I think you're probably right on that, actually. Even though you said, when will she die earlier? Telium says, my guess with the fusions is that Shin and Kabuto eat the bugs and fuse back into Kabuto Shin. At this point, the fact that they're defused doesn't necessarily retcon the way they were fused slash defused in Super. I won't lie, Telium, not to like super out you here, but I think if this were true, this is the lamest use of those bugs that they could have ever possibly thought of. That's just my opinion.
I would rather them not even use the bugs. Yeah. I'd rather them be jokes. I'd rather them open the pouch and the bugs fly away and they go, ah, dang it. Yep. Then that happened.
Yeah. Ultimate Syndicate says we need key moments of Dotto and Nano's adventures on the road in Tokyo. This would be fire, Dotto. If we don't make that happen at least once while you're over there, we
that would be crazy.
We've done something wrong. I'm only saying, says being real, this podcast is the reason I've been watching this show in sub. Still a great time. This is such a wholesome comment. I had to shout it out. Thank you, only saying.
I was gonna say, bro, snuck in some glaze in the book club session.
All right, Lazy Clubhouse says, I think this specifically is at 5207 in our previous podcast that you can watch last week. Or available right now on all podcast services. But 5207, I think Glorio is being paid off as cool, calm, and level-headed, but in actuality, he's acting very similar to Mira, where he doesn't really show strong emotions outside of fighting or the person controlling him being in danger. Again, I think all these theories are definitely valid because I do see the similarities between Dr. Arinsu and Glorio with Toa and Mira.
I think my boy's being manipulated. He's being taken advantage of.
I mean, you know, now, final book club of the week, Blue's Clues 2099, back again, Dotto, back again.
Oh, another clue.
All right, here we go. Book club time. Let's go. Also, just going to put it out there. I'm a no spoilers kind of guy when it comes to DB. So all my comments are just theories. I don't be engaging in that stuff. They pointed that out because we called that. We said now, you know, because you and I are not, I'm not looking in, like, I refuse to look at leak shit. Like, the only way I'm seeing that is if someone were to just like, hey, look. And like, it's mini Vegito, you know, but anyway, Piccolo and Neva, only if Neva ends up not being a villain, there is no need to permanently absorb Neva like Nell or Kami. If Neva is not a villain, I suspect he will want to keep Dende safe as well. Like Piccolo, in case anyone tries to pull a Jiren, like when he launched a key blast at the stands in the TOP, I'm looking at you, Glorio. Okay. Any two or three of the Act 2 / Lee villains, excluding the Tamagamis, I can see one of the villains snatching the bag of bugs from Goku and using them before the Dragon Team get the chance to.
That'd be great. That'd be great. I'll cut him right there and say that would be awesome. I'll take that.
Yep. No, I agree. At some point, we're getting a Demon Realm level threat in this show that actually pushes these characters, whether it be a fusion, whether it be a new form, whether it be seeing Goku go 3 as a kid. Like, there's going to be, again, I think this is just laying the foundation so we're fully invested by the time the middle climax and the final climax, because you know around probably 10 or 11, there's going to be some sort of pop-off, I imagine, And then when we get to the finale, there will be another. And I agree, this is something that could be there. Number three, Goku and Vegeta. I think at least one of the fusions from the bugs will be Goku and Vegeta, and it will be a third personality separate from Gogeta and Vegito. But it's not powerful enough, such as it doesn't last long enough, so Shin will suggest the more permanent solution and give Goku and Vegeta his Patara. He will say something along the lines of, I'll just get Boo to eat and spit you out like he did with Kibito, and I after the ordeal is done. Then by the end of the fight with Vegito, they will defuse without the use of Boo's gas, and Shin will be left confused why they defused. Shin will literally just be left shrugging his shoulders by the end of it all until his conversation with Gowasu and DBS.
Yeah, I mean, seeing Vegito again, I'm not gonna lie, I want something new. I'm moved on from Vegito. He's old school.
I'm so, again, the fact that we know that this, you know, this is just a in-between story, I mean, I'm kind of with you. I think it is way more exciting, especially the ramifications it will have throughout the entirety of like the landscape of Dragon Ball, specifically the games, an entirely new fusion. And I won't even lie, I'm not even hard stuck on it being Goku and Vegeta. If it ends up being Goku and Glorio or a new Piccolo fusion with somebody, like, I'm pretty much down for anything. Fusion's just a cool concept in general. It does not need to be Goku and Vegeta. Now, what I mean,
yeah, I think the enemies would be good too. I think that's like, yes, a really good one. Yes.
Do I think it would be cool to see a new Goku, like a third Goku and Vegeta fusion? Absolutely, bro. I'm so here for that. Like, yeah, I'm definitely down. But like, it for me personally, it doesn't need to be that to be hype. I'm not totally with you on that. I think that like some cool story playing out of like the bugs don't totally work, and Shin does have both of his Patara earrings, and we do see Vegito again. I'm not against that, because Vegito has never really had that much screen time in totality anyway, so to see him again, even as a mini version, would be cool. So I'm not with Dotto on this one. Dotto, I had a joke I brought up to Diddy I wanted to bring up to finish off this podcast episode, since we're in book club.
But okay, go ahead.
My storyline I played out to him was, so basically, Glorio gets revealed as essentially Mira, turns into that Super Saiyan 5 form that he does at the end of Xenoverse. Okay? Similar-ish. Goku's pushed to Super Saiyan 4. All right? The way they bring this back up and the way they connect this, because your whole thing with Daima is that if it's never referenced again. So let's fast forward to Super is back, okay? Or Super Manga is back. The God forms are no match for Black Frieza. Vegeta goes, Kakarot, you remember that form we learned in the Demon Realm? And all of a sudden,
Goku goes
Super Saiyan 4 against Black Frieza to win. Boom. Connected. Done. Awesome.
It's the dumbest shit of all time. that's I was expecting like a loose reason for why he would never have used it. Hey, remember that thing we've always had that was 10 times better than everything we ever learned? You're right, dude. I forgot about that shit.
But Dotto, it would connect. There you go. Daima is in Super. It would connect.
That shit would be barely a connection I've ever seen in my life.
Okay, but are you telling me that if they bust out some sort of new form that is reminiscent of Super Saiyan 4 and it shows up again in Super, you wouldn't be kind of hyped for that? You'd be like, holy shit, they really did it. You wouldn't be like...
They need to give it like they need to eat a demon bug that makes them look like that, bro. Because I ain't buying it any other way.
Dotto, to finish this out, you are getting a sticker from Super Omega. Super Omega. I just got a notification.
Wow. No way. Wow. Being a Patriot. Wait, how much money am I paying?
OMG. Please allow a few weeks for your sticker to arrive.
Wait, what? That's like their highest tier, bro. I'm not a member of their highest tier.
Well, Dotto, I'm just telling you that. Dotto subscribed to the Super Mega Patreon with the key moments Patreon.
I didn't mean to, bro.
I get Super Mega updates, which is just
You're probably gonna get my sticker too. Have you been getting all my stickers, Nano?
No, I've not gotten anything, man. Have you updated your address to the Japan one, or is this shit going to like a null and void old address of yours?
It's probably going to a null and void old address, bro. That's where all the stickers are going.
Man. Well, Dotto, do you hear that? I think I hear it.
I do, yeah. The money flying out of my wallet. Oh, you meant the jingle. Oh, yeah, I hear that too.
Guys, hit that like button, subscribe if you watch this far and you aren't subscribed yet. Appreciate you guys listening to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and we will see you next week for episode 6, Daima Dragon Ball Lightning.
Farewell. Farewell, goodbye.